From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. While there are ongoing dialogues nationwide on racial justice and policing, one Alaska legislator is hoping to change the way police serve in the state. Senator Elvie Gray Jackson has proposed a series of police reform legislation in response to last summer's protests against police brutality. I spoke to the senator and heard from the community for this story. This is what it sounded like at Marine Park in Juneau during last summer's Black Lives Matter protests. It was only blocks away from the state capitol building. It was just one of many demonstrations in communities across the state. Now, a bill in the Alaska Senate is trying to show what a response to that action could look like on paper and in practice. Senator Elvie Gray Jackson, who is one of two Black lawmakers in the state, calls her legislation Turning Pain into Progress. It's aimed at preventing police violence across communities in Alaska.
The subject of police reform has been talked about a lot for years, okay? And nobody's ever done anything, not really, not in this community.
The legislation consists of six bills that include a statewide ban on chokeholds and a ban on officers shooting at vehicles. Other pieces of the legislation require officers to follow de-escalation procedures and to provide a verbal warning before discharging a firearm. Another piece requires an officer to intervene when they observe another officer violating standards, if it's safe to do so. And the last two pieces would create a statewide database that tracks use of force incidents and would require all departments in the state to post their policies and procedures on their website. Gray Jackson says this isn't a one-sided package. It's intended to protect both the community and law enforcement.
I mean, you know, in our community, we have not had instances to the level of George Floyd, but we have had instances, and I'm hopeful that, you know, bringing these bills forward and them being in state statutes will prevent us from having situations that have been experienced on a national level.
The Washington Post's police shootings database has recorded 44 deaths by police in Alaska since 2015. Celeste Hodge Groudon, who is Black, is the president and CEO of the Alaska Black Caucus.
The goal is to have no lives lost. That's the goal. And there just needs to be some mechanisms put in place to assure that.
She says she would love to see a better relationship between law enforcement and communities of color, especially with the Black community. Julie Smith, who is Inupiaq, summed up the Inupiaq community's relationship with police during public testimony.
It's taboo for people in my community to call the police when there are issues because of how bad the mistrust is between my people and the police.
Smith also asked the committee to add language that would require officers to provide proof that their life is threatened. The legislation has some backing from the law enforcement community. Sergeant Jeremy Conkling, who is white, is president of the Anchorage Police Department Employees Association. He worked with Senator Gray Jackson as she drafted the legislation. He says much of it already reflects the training and practices at his department. Right now, officers are required to intervene when they see one of their colleagues violating standards.
Not only is that ingrained in our culture here, it is required of all of our officers already.
But Conkling said that while the bills reflect practices that make sense in a municipality like Anchorage, the policies may not be appropriate in rural Alaska.
I am a very firm believer that policies and procedures of the police department should reflect the culture in which the police department serves.
Retired Public Safety Commissioner Walt Monaghan, who is part Tlingit and Yupik, says he's experienced a litany of life-threatening scenarios where the bills might apply. He expressed mixed feelings about the legislation.
It's hard to write a policy that will meet everything that you're going to encounter out there.
He says that it could cause huge headaches in enforcing some of the policies. He says it's great that organizations like the Alaska Black Caucus are involved.
But I think that more work needs to be done if they're going to do these kind of actions and look at the long term, not just in the perfect world aspect of it.
Monaghan did agree with one aspect of the bill, that the tactical chokehold is outdated, similar to the maneuver that former officer Derek Chauvin used on George Floyd in Minneapolis.
The idea of a chokehold, I think it's gone by the way. I mean, it's gone. It should be gone because you can hurt somebody.
So far, two of the bills have been through State Affairs Committee hearings, but even if none of it becomes state statute, Groudon at the Alaska Black Caucus says she won't stop working toward a positive change in policing.
One thing we won't do is grow weary in doing good. We will do as our late Congressman John Lewis shared, and that is stay in good and necessary trouble to move us toward that beloved community.
For now, it's up to the state's elected lawmakers to decide the future of policing in Alaska. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña. In other news, Denali National Park is preparing for another pandemic-affected summer season and will again offer visitors the opportunity to drive a portion of the park road normally closed to private vehicles, KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
Last summer, Denali National Park offered a limited number of permits on five separate weekends for private vehicles to travel out the 92-mile park road as far as the Eielson Visitor Center at mile 66.
This summer, we're shortening that distance, but expanding the number of days that this is going to be available.
Park spokesperson Paul Oleg says this year's private vehicle access permits will be offered on most dates between May 20th and September 12th, and allow travel to the Teklanika rest stop at mile 30. Permits will cost $25 with registration online at recreation.gov beginning April 20th. Oleg says the decision to only go as far as Teklanika reflects several factors, including seven major construction projects happening this summer along the park road west of Teklanika.
And this construction will cause significant delays along these sections. So in order to expedite the construction projects and reduce the impact of these projects on park visitors, it was decided to limit the road permits just to Teklanika.
Oleg adds that another consideration is limiting traffic on narrow sections of the park road after Teklanika, given an increase over last summer in the number of park buses that will be running.
We will have more tour buses and transit buses available for visitors to be able to enjoy getting in as far as the Eielson Visitor Center, and even campers getting as far as Wonder Lake this year.
Oleg says Denali had only 60,000 visitors last summer, a tenth of what the park saw pre-pandemic. He says visitation is expected to tick up this summer, but cautions the increased potential is limited, given large cruise ships are again not coming to Alaska.
About 60 to 65% of all of our visitation in Denali is associated directly with the cruise industry.
Oleg says Denali's visitor center buildings will again be closed this summer, but that decisions about other facilities like the popular sled dog kennel, which were closed last summer, will be made in coming weeks. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Today is the deadline to file for the 2021 permanent fund dividend. If you're filing online, you have until 11:59 p.m. Alaska time to submit your application. You can also send your application by mail, but it must be postmarked by today, March 31st. And a third option, pick up a paper application at a PFD office in Anchorage, Fairbanks, or Juneau today, fill it out, and leave it in the drop box. So far, more than 590,000 people have applied for this year's PFD, according to the State Department of Revenue. New residents must live in Alaska for a full calendar year before becoming eligible for a PFD. To view other requirements or to check the status of your application, go to pfd.alaska.org. And as for the amount of this year's check, that's still unclear. Lawmakers are debating it. And justices on the Alaska Supreme Court today questioned the constitutionality of the legislature funding public education a year early. The questioning happened during oral arguments in a lawsuit between Governor Mike Dunleavy on one side and the Legislative Council and school funding advocates on the other. Justice Daniel Winfrey asked if there was any limit on the legislature's ability to decide spending years ahead of time for any part of the state budget, such as permanent fund dividends. For more on this story, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.